Welcome to Digging Deep with Evangelist Paul Acqua of Christ Is All Ministries. There's zero reason for us to be stressed out. It's a bold statement, isn't it? In a world seemingly built on deadlines, demands, and daily anxieties, the idea that we could live completely free from stress feels almost radical. In fact, stress has become so normalized that many wear their perpetual busyness and anxiety as badges of honor in our achievement-oriented culture. But what if it's not just wishful thinking to think that there's no reason for us to be stressed out? What if there's a deeper truth to this idea, a perspective that could fundamentally change how we experience life? Join me as we discover how faith in God can replace our anxiety with peace, and how we can live free from the burden of stress in today's message by Evangelist Paul Acqua, titled, There's Zero Reason for Us to Be Stressed Out. Let's dive in.
I am sure there are many Christians who will say, you are condemning other people by saying that there is zero reason for us to be stressed out. I'm not condemning you, I'm telling you, Jesus has provided more for us than what most of us have appropriated. Open your Bibles with me to John chapter 14, and in verse 1, this was Jesus speaking to his disciples the night before his crucifixion. So as we remember the Good Friday coming up, this is what Jesus was telling his disciples. He had just had the Last Supper. He had just washed the disciples' feet. You know the story. Satan had entered Judas. He had left to go and betray Jesus to the chief priest. So in John chapter 14 and verse 1, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." So here we are, the night before Jesus was crucified, he gave a command. This isn't a request or a suggestion. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." So I tell you, my friend, there is zero reason for us to be stressed out. It means there is no reason for you and I to be stressed out. And I can explain why. This was a very, very difficult situation for the disciples. They were entering into probably one of the most difficult times of their lives. They did not understand the full plan of salvation, and they were going to see their master Jesus Christ, who all of their hopes and dreams were hinged upon. They were going to see him arrested. They were going to see him crucified and dead and buried. That was a difficult situation. That was a difficult time. I tell you, most people today would say, well, it would be totally unjust to tell someone to let not their heart be troubled when you go through something like that. If you aren't bothered, if this doesn't just distress you and stress you out, if your heart isn't broken, then something is wrong with you. You are in denial. That's what many people would say. That's the way that our world has approached things today. If you tell people that we are victorious in Christ and that God always wants us to triumph in our Lord Jesus Christ, when you come out and you say things like that, which is what the scriptures say, which is what the Bible is saying, people will not agree with you. They will even be annoyed, and people will just tell you a whole lot of stuff. There are large sectors of the body of Christ who will say, well, you are putting down people that have problems. You aren't sympathizing with them. You are supposed to get down and you are supposed to say, we know your pain. We know your suffering. We feel for you. And that's why there are some times that we got to do that. But I'm telling you, sometimes sympathy actually empowers failure. To show true compassion, sometimes you got to use tough love. You got to say something. You have to tell a person to get up and go at it again. You have to encourage people that, yes, you can do it. But somehow or another way, the church has got into where they really feel like empathizing and sympathizing with people, but they don't empower people. I'm here to empower you, my friend. Jesus was telling his disciples the night before he was crucified, and he said, "Don't let your heart be troubled." Today, most Christians would say that's not compassion. That's not feeling empathy for people. They were going to see Jesus crucified. They were going to see all of their dreams dashed out. And here he is telling them not to let their heart be troubled. So you may think that's not compassion. You may think that's unreasonable. In today's culture, there are a lot of Christians and Christian ministers who are telling people to act differently from what Jesus did the night before the most difficult time in their lives. That's what Jesus said. He said that, "My friend, don't let your heart be troubled." That was the most difficult time in human history. But he said, there is no reason for you to be stressed out. Jesus is saying, don't let your heart be troubled. In a way, Jesus is saying, look, there is zero reason for you to be stressed out. We are now in a situation that when you listen to the news, you watch the news, they are talking about all sorts of things, talking about tariffs, talking about global economic uncertainty. They are talking about a lot of things that's happening, earthquakes, people dying in terms of the war in various places. They are talking about all kinds of negative things. So they will say, yes, you should be worried about these things. People are being laid off from their workplaces. People are dying in earthquakes and wars. And they just, in a sense, empower these things. But Jesus is saying, do not let your heart be troubled. And so somebody will say, yes, God told us to let not our hearts be troubled, but that only goes so far. It has a limit, but that's not what Jesus said. If you are facing death, if you are being laid off, if something is happening, you are justified in being stressed out. That's what they would say. That's the way a lot of people, including some Christians, are presenting things. How did Jesus respond? The night before he went onto the cross to die for our sins, he told his disciples, don't let your heart be troubled. And why shouldn't they do it? Because they believe in God. Faith is the answer to all of these things. If you have faith in God, you don't have to be afraid. He said, because you believe in God and you believe also in me, Jesus Christ, you have the answer to your troubles. So in the book of Psalms, David said this. He said, though the mountains be removed and be cast into the sea, yet will I trust the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. It's a powerful expression of unwavering faith. And it's recorded in Psalms chapter 46, verse 2. You see, so he was emphasizing God's power and constant presence, even in the face of overwhelming change or destruction. It underscores the idea that no matter how difficult the situation may be, including natural disasters or personal crisis, one can find comfort and joy in trusting in God. Hallelujah. So, therefore, I tell you, my friend, there is zero reason for us to be stressed out. No matter the situation, we ought to be praising God. We ought to be saying, praise God, I know I'm going to win. I know I'm going to win in this life. And if for some reason my faith wasn't able to appropriate the healing, if my faith wasn't able to appropriate the prosperity which the Bible says we can have, or whatever it is that your problem is, if the worst thing happens, you die and go to be with Jesus Christ. You live forever in a mansion on streets that are paved with gold. That's how heaven is. You will never sorrow. You will never have any more cares. The former things won't even come to your mind. Hallelujah. So here Jesus had just said in John chapter 14, verse 1, that let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then in verse 2 and verse 3, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So why should Jesus bring this up? The reason he brought up heaven is because in the most difficult situation, if the worst comes to worst, my friend, you are going to be with the Lord in heaven. I believe that we can rejoice in the Lord always, regardless of what's going on. Jesus said at the very end of his teaching in John chapter 16, verse 33, that these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That was an understatement, my friend. In a very short time, he was going to be arrested. He was going to be taken before the king in that day, Pilate, and he was going to be taken to Herod. All his disciples would forsake him and flee. Peter would deny 3 times that he even knew him. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So he started by saying, don't let your heart be troubled. He ended by saying, be of good cheer. So regardless of what goes on, I'm telling you, we can be encouraged. We can be victorious. We can have joy and peace. There is zero reason for you to be stressed out, my friend. I don't care what's going on in your life. And I know that's not popular. And a lot of people think that I am putting a standard out there that condemns people. I'm not condemning anybody. I am telling you that Jesus has provided so much for you. He has supplied so much for you. And his supply is so extremely greater than your need. Your problem is far, far smaller than Jesus. Jesus is the solution provider. So he says, do not let your heart be troubled. That in comparison, there is no reason to be stressed out about anything. Because my God is omnipotent, omnipresent. He is compassionate. He is a good God. He can do anything. So he says, it doesn't matter what you are going through. Do not be stressed out. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus Christ. So yes, believe that God has provided healing for us. He has provided prosperity. He has provided joy, peace, and so many other things because Jesus came to give us abundant life. But if you win in this life, you get healed in this life, you get delivered, you get prospered, then wonderful. If you don't, you go to eternity. And that's the reason he said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. When he was saying that, don't be stressed out. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Then he talked about heaven. If the worst thing happens, you go to be with the Lord. My friend, you can never fail. Nothing can by no means hurt you. We can all have the attitude that the Apostle Paul had. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 that, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I am in this great dilemma. I am caught up between 2 things, wanting to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. That's what Paul was saying. He said far better to go and be with Christ than continue to live on this earth. But I am going to stay here so that I can minister unto you and that your joy might be full. You see, we need to have this attitude that Paul had. We can have that attitude to where you aren't afraid of death. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 15 says that Jesus came to deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. When you get that attitude of the Apostle Paul, that for you to live is Christ and to die is even better, That's the greatest life that you can ever have. Yes, you don't want to depart now because you got a lot of things to do. God has given you stuff to do here, and so you want to do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says that, for we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, you see, he's talking about this human body, we have a burden from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Hallelujah. So when you get this attitude, you aren't afraid of death. You aren't afraid of any situation you are in. You aren't stressed out by it. But yes, you are not looking forward to live because you've got a purpose and you are going to accomplish what God wants you to do. People are in bondage through fear of death. You don't have to be afraid of that. Nevertheless, you are not going to go prematurely. I have got purpose. I've got a job that God has given me. And so I am not excited about leaving this earth now. I want to run my race, finish my course, accomplish what God has called me to do. But I tell you, I'm not afraid of death. So must you. You will finish your course here. You got a lot of reason to be looking forward to be with Christ. And so if you are a believer, you know that as you live here, you are just translated to heaven. But if you don't know Christ, my friend, the first step to take is to give your life to Christ, because else there is no future for you. And if you will, you may pray this prayer after me, saying every word from your heart. Say, dear Lord, I recognize that I am a sinner and need to be saved. I understand that Jesus died in my place and suffered the judgment of my sins. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead and he is at the right hand of the Father. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Come and live in my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Digging Deep with Evangelist Paul Acqua. If you enjoyed today's message, be sure to tell a friend. Also, make sure you never miss an episode. If you have any prayer request, you can contact us at +44 787 945 6907. You can also visit www.ciamint.com for more resources to help you dig deeper into your Christian life. Christ is All Ministries, sharing Christ, changing lives.